serious? Is Jesus serious when he asks us to love our enemies?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. When Jesus talked about loving one's enemies, people likely thought he had lost his mind. Most indignant seems to have been the religious set. This was crazy talk. The law of Moses said so. Nevertheless, the command to love your enemies remains as revolutionary today as it was in Jesus' day, totally contrary to human nature, which is, of course, the problem. So this evening, Pastor Brian Grant is going to bring before us the first part of his message, in which he offers some practical tips from God's Word that offer help in our struggle with that very revolutionary idea. We invite you then to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, Loving Your Enemies. Here now is Pastor Grant.
John Perkins was the child of sharecroppers in Mississippi. He was born about 1930. And of course, you know what it was like for a black person living in Mississippi in those days. And so from a very early age, John Perkins got to see racism close up. He was only 16 when his brother returned from Vietnam as a war hero. And sadly, very shortly after his brother returned, he was shot by the sheriff in a blatant act of racism. John Perkins, to be honest, at that time hated whites. And it wasn't long before he left Mississippi and eventually ended up in California. But while he was in California, he met Jesus. And Jesus did a transformation of his life. And so he led Perkins to return to Mississippi to work with the poor. And after John went back to Mississippi, God blessed the work that he was doing with the poor. And after a while, it started to make the establishment a little uncomfortable. There one Saturday, a group from Tougaloo University came to visit to help in the ministry there. And, you know, on the way back, the authorities stopped the bus and they arrested them on trumped up charges. They beat the students, and then they imprisoned them in a nearby town. It wasn't the town that that Perkins was in, but they imprisoned them in a nearby town. But the sheriff knew that John Perkins was going to show up that night to bail them. And so the sheriff's officers were all there waiting for Perkins to arrive. And as Mr. Perkins arrived, the sheriff, 12 sheriff deputies went out to meet him. And the beatings started in the parking lot. They beat him, they kicked him, they punched him, stomped on him. And even after he had fallen unconscious, they continued beating him. It would take 18 long months for John Perkins to recover from the beatings he got that night. But you know, despite all he went through, he spoke here some years ago, and I'll never forget, because after all he had endured at the hands of whites, I expected he would hate white folks. But he did not. I realized he actually loved them. You see, the grace of God had touched him. And John Perkins had not only learned to forgive, he had learned to love even those who had hurt him so deeply. And this morning, God has a message for every single one of us this morning, because God wants to talk to us about a passage of scripture that we often overlook here in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, where Jesus commands us to love our enemies. That's what I'm talking about this morning, loving your enemies. Wouldn't it be something if all of us learned to love our enemies? Amen? What a difference it would make in our community. And listen, I just want to say to you, in my 45 years in this country, I have never seen this country as angry and as divided racially and politically as it is today. And instead of pointing fingers, because that's what we are doing, sadly, even preachers of the gospel are pointing fingers. Instead of pointing fingers at who needs to do what, God is saying, I have the antidote for the problem, and the antidote for the problem is that every believer in Jesus Christ needs to start loving their enemies. Am I right about it? Somebody ought to say amen. Is God really serious? Is Jesus serious when he asks us to love our enemies? How could he expect us to love that coworker who spread such vicious rumors about us? How could Jesus expect me as a teenager, I'm not talking about myself, but how could Jesus expect me as a young person to love that person who went on the internet and posted such ugly stuff about me? How can I love somebody who is a cyber bully? How can I love my spouse who cheated on me, or that special person who cheated on me? How can God expect me to love my enemies? Who is your enemy? Some of you are going to say, oh, it's the Democrats. Some of you are going to say it's the Republicans. Is it a sibling? Oh, you know that sometimes our enemies are our own sisters and brothers. Sometimes it's a parent, because, you know, some of us in our congregation, your parents abused you. They didn't treat you well. Spouses, so they have all sorts of problems too, you know. Who is your enemy? Whoever it is, God is asking you today to start loving them. You see, we're not just talking about enemies that really want to kill you. We're just talking about folks who you and them have issues. God says, love your enemies. You say, I don't have any enemies because I'm not mad at anybody. I love everybody. I don't have no enemies. But trust me, we all have enemies. If you're alive, you got some enemies. Because guess what happened? If you're bald, some people won't like you. If you got hair, or if you wear a wig, some people won't like you. If you're a vegan, some people won't like you. If you're a carnivore, that's a person who loves all sorts of meat. Never forget, there was a place in Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya, carnivores it's called. Any type of meat you wanted, you could get it. You want crocodile, you want alligator, you want lizard. Oh, you could get anything you wanted once it was meat, okay? If you're a carnivore, some people won't like you. Some people hate you because you're successful. Some people hate you because you're poor. Some people hate you because you're black. Some people are going to hate you because you're white. Listen, if you are from the wrong, listen, it doesn't mean you are mad at anybody, but we all have enemies because there's somebody who don't like you. And I've heard some people say, well, if they don't want to like me, that's their problem, because as long as they stay in their corner, if they stay in their corner, I'll stay in my corner. But that ain't what God is saying. God ain't saying stay in your corner. That's not good enough. I want that to be clear as we develop this message. It's not good enough for you to stay in your corner. God is saying get out of your corner and love your enemies. Are you ready to love your enemies this morning? Well, how can we love our enemies? Open your Bible to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse number 44. And here's what the Bible says there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 44. It says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. He says, love your enemies. The Greek word for love that's used in verse 44 is the word agape. It's very interesting that there are so many Greek words that could have been used for love, such as the word phileo, that has to do with brotherly love. It could be, there are all these other words, but the word is used here is agape, and it's very important that we take note of that, that Jesus says we should agape our enemy. You see, this agape is a word that means, that describes an unconditional, sacrificial love. It's the type of love that God has. In fact, the Bible describes him, God is love. It's a type of love that doesn't come naturally. In fact, we weren't born with the agape love. Amen? But the moment we became Christians, the moment we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God came to live in us, and the Holy Spirit has poured out this agape love of God in our hearts. Amen? Every Christian possesses this agape love, but non-Christians don't. A non-Christian cannot truly love their enemy the way God is talking about, because they don't have this agape, self-sacrificing love. But every believer in Jesus Christ possesses it, because the Spirit of God has poured it into our hearts and into our lives. By the way, that's why it shouldn't shock us that although Jesus says that we must love our enemies, it should not shock us that the Quran tells Muslims to make war, I'm quoting from this Quran, make war on the unbelievers and the hypocrites and deal rigorously with them. What a contrast in perspectives. Jesus says, love your enemies. The Quran says to a Muslim, make war against the unbeliever and the hypocrites and deal rigorously with them. Listen to me carefully. God has equipped every Christian with all the love we need to love our enemies. I want to make sure you heard me. It's possible you may want to leave here today with the mindset, I really can't do it. God is saying that he has given every single Christian all the love you need to love your enemies. You can do it. The problem is we're waiting for a feeling. I'm waiting to feel something. But put this in your notes, put this down. Loving our enemies is not an act of the emotion. Amen? It's not an act of the emotion, it's an act of the will. God is not telling us how we are to feel, he's telling us how we are to act. Amen? He is telling us what we're supposed to do. This has nothing to do with a feeling. And that's the problem that's messing us up. We're waiting for a feeling.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
The love of God, God didn't love you because he had some feeling. It was an action. Amen? By the way, if you're having trouble with your spouse, I want to make sure you're paying attention right now, because there's a principle here that you can grasp as well if you're having problems with your spouse. You know, sometimes folks would come to me and they would say, Pastor, I've fallen out of love with my spouse. And I might say, how do you know you've fallen out of love? They said, I don't feel anything anymore. We have this tendency to equate love with a feeling. But when husband, listen now, and wife, listen good. When God tells you to love your spouse, he's not telling you to wait until your heart feels bumpity bump. He's telling you at the very minute that there is no bumpity bump, the very minute that you don't feel, have that feeling that you felt, well, that you never felt before. He said, oh, wait till you get that feeling. He says he wants you to show love even when you feel nothing. Love is something, it's a decision that I make. Loving my enemy is a decision I make to obey God. And listen, the feelings, sir, you and your wife going through drama, some of the principles we're going to talk about this morning, put them into use in your marriage, and you're going to find that after a while, oh my goodness, I start to feel something. If you do the things that love requires, if you do the loving thing, you'll start to get that loving feeling. Whoa, whoa. That loving feeling. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But he said, we want to get the loving feeling in order to do the loving thing. Do the loving thing, and the loving feeling will just come trailing after a while. But don't do the loving thing for 1 week and then say, she ain't doing nothing. Oh, you hang in there. You keep loving. You keep loving, and sooner or later, that loving feeling is going to come. Somebody ought to say amen right about there, amen? Let's talk about, though, 4 things we must do to love our enemies. And they're all right here in chapter 5, verse 44. The first thing, we must bless them even if they curse us. You notice what it says, the first thing, bless those who what? Who curse you. Those who curse you are those who slander you, people who speak lies about you or cuss you to your face. When somebody curses you, how do you respond? No, don't, please don't tell me. Please don't tell me. Please don't tell me. Because some people, if anybody ever curse them, they say, I'm going to tell them who they're messing with. I'm going to show them who they're messing with. I'm going to give them back even hotter than they gave me. And your testimony went right through the... You see, that's the thing. As I studied and prepared, I realized that part of what God is saying, it has much more powerful opportunity to spread the gospel. We don't realize that when we don't love our enemies, we sometimes block the gospel from touching people's lives. And we're going to get there in a minute. But when we curse those who curse us, there's no point coming to tell them tomorrow morning about Jesus loves you. You may as well take off your Jesus pin. You may as well shut your mouth. And instead of shutting your mouth then, you ought to shut your mouth when they curse you. Shut your mouth. Don't cuss them back. But instead, seek an opportunity when you can bless them. Amen? Seek an opportunity when you can invoke God's blessing on them and mean it. Listen, God says, bless those, even those who curse you. But second, we must do good to them, our enemies, even if they hate us, do good, the scripture says there in verse 44, to those who hate us. The word translated hate means detest. I must do good to those who detest me and discriminate against me. How should we react when folks discriminate against us? Some people believe that when folks discriminate against you, the way to respond is to get ballistic and read them the Riot Act. Now, Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't stand for our rights. But listen to me good. And I want to talk particularly to those of you who are in your career, early stages of your career. Never repay evil with evil. Sometimes our parents or our friends will tell us, you don't have to take it, but always remember whose you are. Not just who you are, but whose you are. And always remember that the person who you belong to makes it clear that if that person who is discriminating against you, you are to do good to them. You said, Pastor, you know, I didn't know, I always thought something was a little wrong with you, but this morning you really seem like you're gone crazy. But this is what the text says. We don't hear much preaching on this. Because sadly, sometimes we would rather incite you to act up and carry on. But my Bible says, Jesus says, love your enemies and do good to them that hate us. And listen, and when we do, God will give us a reward. Did you know that? Look here in verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? In other words, God is saying there are rewards for those who obey. Those who love their enemies, will we be rewarded? You say, that's not clear enough. Well, hold your Bible in Matthew 5 and jump with me over to Luke's Gospel chapter 6. Luke's Gospel chapter 6. And let's look at what the scripture says there in Luke's Gospel chapter 6. And I'm reading here in verse number 35. And here it's very clear. It says, Jesus, this parallel scripture, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. He even goes to the money this time. And you know what happens when folks owe you money, how you carry on. He says, not only love your enemies, but if you lend somebody some money and they pay, don't even worry if they don't pay you back. Now, you better not say, Pastor, say, I don't have to pay you back. Because if you're one of those who do that, you know, God is going to deal with you if you purposely didn't do it. But sometimes circumstances prevent people from paying back. And God is saying, a person who is obeying the will of God, when you love and you lend, even if they can't pay you back, you keep loving and you keep doing good. Because God says, listen, when you love your enemies, your reward will be... Oh, you didn't see it. It says your reward will be great.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. we'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.